Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, because there's something that I want to just touch base back with there and set a foundation. Set a foundation. Second Corinthians 5. Still hear a few pages turning. But see, if we'll absorb this, this is how you get free of you. Free of me. Okay? If we'll absorb this, it sets you free of me. Say, free of me. Not free of Pastor Chuck. Free of me. Hallelujah. I already set you free. So you're free whether you want to be or not. Hallelujah. Because I want the Lord to do and bring forth the best in each and every one of you. I want to encourage and speak forth and do forth those things that will bring increase in you. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. We read it, I believe, last week, but we didn't hold on this place. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. If you're reading King James, it says it constrains us. If you're reading the NIV, it says it compels us. In other words, it's the love of Christ. This is not the kind of control where it's a manipulation and it's something. It's not something where it's a manipulation, where it's something that is a negative thing. This is the kind of control that actually holds together. It becomes the glue. In other words, when it compels us, it's causing us to respond in a new way. It's causing us to respond out of a new atmosphere. It's causing us to recognize a new place. Because when it compels us, that's causing us to make a change inside that gets us glued to the one who is the resource. See, it's the love of Christ. When the love of Christ is what compels me. We all say that I love God and God loves me. Right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Remember, we all sang that. Did you guys sing that? Jesus loves me, this I know. Does your generation sing that? You didn't sing that? Well, you can come up here and sing it with me. So, maybe we didn't all, but most of us, have heard that somewhere in our life. Jesus loves me, this I know. But when we live it, it changes us. When we let it not just be something that we sing, not just be something that we've memorized, but something that motivates everything that we do. When that love that he has for you, because see, this is a love that he has for you, because it goes on to talk about what the cross did for you. It goes on to talk about how because of the cross, the old things have faded away and behold, new things have come. So it's not just your love for him, but it's his love for you that is compelling you. See, when it's compelling you, it's causing a new response in you. When the love of God, his love for me, becomes what compels me, it begins to cause me to act in a new way. It causes me to respond to the situations in my life in a different fashion. That means I can actually truly love my brothers and sisters. Because why? Because now I'm not, if the love of Christ is what is compelling me, I no longer have to get my identity from you. If the love of Christ is compelling me, I don't have to get my identity from how Andreas responds to me. Now, my hope is he'll still respond to me well. It would be my desire for him to respond to me well. But if he decides not to, it doesn't have to crush me because I'm not getting my identity from him anymore. And see, we can kind of giggle about it when it's Andreas, right? But what if it's your spouse? And don't go there, Pastor. But when it's our spouse, see, now, or it's your boss or someone who has some authority in your life, when I'm responding to them, can I respond in that same freedom? See, that's why I said I've been free from me. Because, see, what I realized in this whole thing is I only have, when I come out here and to do this, I really only have one person to please, and that's him. If all the rest of you hate me and go home, I still can, and I did what he told me to do, I'm still okay. And if you guys enjoy it and are agreeing with it, that's awesome. That's wonderful. But it's no longer what compels me. Why? Because his heart is compelling me. His love is compelling me. When his love is compelling me, it sets me free from the things that aren't love. In my own responses, not yours, but my response to you can now be out of love. So that's the thing that happens when we begin to allow him that space. We give him space in our life out of his love. Recognizing that because of this great love that he has for us, because of this great love that he has for us, I can create a safety area in my heart. Because of his great love, I can create space for him to operate in me in a different way. I no longer have to respond to the pushes of the world unless the Lord asks me to. See, I can respond now out of his heart. I can truly choose to give you something freely. There's a difference. There's a difference. You see, because if I give you something with an expectation of return, it's really not giving you something. It's a manipulation. We all grew up with the saying, well, maybe we didn't all grow up. I'll have to check over here again. Yes, but with the saying, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Did you guys grow up with that? Okay, yes, we're good. Hashtag, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. But guess what? If I'm actually only doing unto you so that you will do unto me in the same way, it's a manipulation. It's control. And so therefore, I'll pick on Andres again. If Andres decides to respond to me, I've done unto him, man, I gave, you know, he said, man, I like your coat. I gave him my coat. I like your bike. I gave him my bike. And then Andres comes off and be ugly to me the next week. It's like, what you got for me this week, Pastor? If I respond and say, if I'm giving with no expectation of return, his behavior to me the next week doesn't have to derail my life. It doesn't have to take me places that it shouldn't take me. Why? Because I'm being compelled by the love of God. I'm able to, when you're compelled by the love of God, then you're able to freely give. Freely give. And that means that I'm no longer operating for self. I'm operating for kingdom. If I change my motive from being self-appointed to being kingdom-appointed, my response now can come from the place of kingdom, from a place of eternity, instead of a place of, what you got for me today? I no longer have to manipulate the world around me. I can freely give. I can freely give without that expectation of return. Yeah, I appreciate the one amen. But I didn't do it for an expectation of return. Hallelujah. Freely give. But see, that's the thing. When I become, when I really only have one that I ultimately have to respond to. That's why I can be free of me. If I'm free of me, I'm only needing to respond to my Heavenly Father. And that's what you saw in Jesus. And as Jesus is, so are we. As He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. He wasn't trying to manipulate the world around Him. You know, we look at Jesus and we all, you know, a lot of times we associate Him with comfort, right? But the reality is He didn't come to comfort. That's not His job. He came to confront. He came to confront anything that didn't look like His Father. To set people free from those things that didn't look like the Father. To set people free from those things that were just a religious system. To set people free from the things that were keeping them bound to something that was less than what God's best was for them. Because, see, the law only could take you so far. The law could only point your need for a Savior, but it couldn't be your Savior. And so He came to point out the true nature, the true character, the true identity of the Father. Because, see, only in understanding the true identity of the Father can we come into agreement with it. Can we come into a right expectation of what is going to happen. See, the same thing happens with churches. Sometimes people get offended with churches because why? They come in looking for something that it doesn't produce for them. Ooh. See, there, for example, if I'm coming and I'm looking and I'm expecting it to be a place of comfort, but all I do is get confronted, I won't identify with it. But if it's my job not to just comfort you, because that doesn't change you. My job is to confront that which needs to be changed. To bring a recognition of that which needs to be changed. To bring a recognition of that which causes you to maturity. Because when I begin to rightly identify what my mission is, that makes me able to rightly project to you what your mission becomes. To come into this change that God wants, maturity that God wants out of each and every one of us. He's a change agent. He's a change agent. He's looking for us to respond to the place of change. When we respond out of the place of change, that means we no longer have to respond to our past, to our neighbor, to our spouse, and anything less than what He would. You say, well, how do I do this, Lord? Sounds like a big task. As Peter said, let's increase our faith. Because, see, this is the journey of faith. We talked about faith. Faith is there to change. Faith is there to cause you to grow. Faith is there to cause you to begin to resemble the Father in ways that you haven't yet resembled Him. Faith is here for the journey with Him. Go with Hebrews 3. It's so awesome to be free. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Therefore, holy brethren of Father's House Church, partakers of a heavenly calling. Here's how you start changing. Consider Jesus. The apostle and high priest of our confession. Who do you say He is? Who do you make Him to be? Who do you stand in agreement with Him? You see, that confession is to say the same thing. In other words, are we saying the same thing as the apostle says about you? Are we saying the same thing as the high priest says about you? Are we saying the same thing as Jesus says about you? Consider. See, when we consider Jesus, now that is something where we're actually allowing ourselves to become daily under his covering. Consider means the daily covering by use or practice. So we're coming under his covering. As we come under his covering, we're doing it. Why? Because we're looking to Jesus, the one who loves us. When I begin to consider how much he loves me, how much he paid for me to have this relationship with him, I'm really left with no option but to respond in love. Drawing near to him becomes the only option. Drawing near to him becomes the thing that compels my heart. And I can do it with a clear conscience because why? Because he already paid the price. His blood already wiped my heart clear and clean. I have no fear when I can come to him. Why? And so when I have no fear coming to him, I can come to him without having to worry about what might happen. Right? Because the more I understand about his love, the more I understand he's well intended for me. See, religion would try to tell you that he wasn't well intended towards you. Religion tried to paint him as a hard taskmaster. And that's what Jesus came to confront. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving father. There's a huge difference. When we begin to look to him as a loving father, now that releases us from everything that was a wrong perception. Wrong perceptions can keep you at distance from the one you love. Ministering to a couple and all throughout their history are wrong perceptions about the other. Because when I sit with one or the other, I understand their heart towards the other, but that's never how it's perceived on the other side. And when it's never perceived on the other side, it doesn't matter how much you do, you're never going to get where you're trying to go. But you know why that's even possible? Because they're both living for self. They're both living for self. And here's the thing. In the one case, one needs to be trusted. But the issue is for the other one needs safety. So she goes around creating all this stuff, doing all this stuff, to create her own illusion of safety. But see, it's an illusion, and internally somewhere she knows it's an illusion because she's never safe. So she's trying to create this illusion for safety, and the more she tries to create the illusion for safety, the more it alienates because the more distance she puts between the one who's her partner, her spouse. It's in that dysfunction that unfortunately lots of us live in because we don't identify the true root of what we're doing. They can see the result and they can bicker about the result and they can focus on the result, but nobody's focusing on the real root inside. If all we ever look at is at the fruit that something is produced, we'll never make the change. God is causing us now to rise up recognizing the root. The way he caused me to recognize the root. See, in order to set me free from me, I had to recognize the root was me. And I had to recognize that I was allowing certain things to move me out of the place he was putting me. And so when I began to recognize he's putting something in me to be released, but the only thing that's keeping me from releasing it is me. Hallelujah. I know this is deep for Sunday morning, But that's okay. Because see, my goal here is to bring change. My goal here is to bring an awakening. My goal here is to cause you to seek Him, to cause you to recognize that whatever there is here that's separating me from God, this is something that has to be burned up in the fire. Because see, there is a reason that we've had the fire here. There is a reason that the fire is here, because the fire is to consume that chaff. That chaff has to go, because we want to put the fruit up into the barn. We want to put the wheat into the barn, but the chaff has to go. All these things that oppose the change are keeping me from displaying the fruit. You know, sometimes God will allow you to work in signs, miracles, and wonders just simply because you're available. But you know what? It's His delight as you align yourself in Him, for Him to come alongside and display the fruit simply because you're with Him. Signs and miracles and wonders will flow just because you're next to Him, because you're abiding in Him. You're abiding. See, there's a response that happens as we consider Jesus, as we consider the one who loves us, as we consider that love, as we're allowing that love to compel us. And it says this. See, does 4 follow 3? Just a quick question. Does chapter 4 follow chapter 3? Yes? No? Okay. Chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. You know what the rest is? Abiding. Abiding. So we who have believed, guess what? It's a choice. Why? Because my faith is required for the abiding. My belief is required for the abiding. It's those who have believed, not those who entered into the rest believe, but those who believed entered into the rest. But it's because I took the time to consider Jesus, because I took the time to make Him my daily covering, I took the time to be compelled by His love, now I'm coming into a place, I'm standing in a place of faith, and as I stand in a place of faith, there's an abiding that was released over my life, Tina. It comes with the territory. And as I'm abiding, I'm entering into the rest. That means I'm letting go of the dysfunction that used to drive my behavior. I don't have to respond to all the inputs of the world out of their same direction. You know, if someone comes up and slaps you in the face, well, the normal response is just to slap them back. Believe me, I've had my share of that. But I don't have to respond to that way. Somebody says something ugly about you, then you say something ugly about their mama, you know. And by the way, it's awesome to have my mom back. Yes, glory to God. And that which that has been happening naturally, Lord, I just release supernatural strength and increase, Father. Supernatural, Father, fullness, Father, for her heart. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that every muscle, every tendon in her heart, Father, functions totally and completely as it was intended. Father, that not only does she have a heart of a lady of her age, but she has a heart of a lady who's 30, Father. So we just release it supernaturally, Father, over her now in Jesus' name. See, God wants to do things in a new way. When we come into the place of allowing our belief system to be aligned with Him, when I come into a place of allowing the fullness of God to operate in me, and I'm not doing it to manipulate somebody else, but I'm doing it as a free expression, now then I can respond and I can do differently than I did before. See, there's a couple of things that will cause you to operate in dysfunction. One is when you are looking to get something from somebody that they can't give you. If I'm looking to my spouse to give me an affirmation that they can never give me, no matter how much they try, I will never actually recognize that affirmation. And when if I can't recognize that affirmation, what eventually winds up happening is I feel discouraged, disappointed, and empty. If I'm personally looking to you to be my affirmation, if nobody shows up, guess what? I'm disappointed and empty. Discouraged. But if I'm only doing it to please the audience of one, if I'm only doing it for an audience of one, if the sanctuary is full or if sanctuary is empty, it's all the same thing. Why? Because it's the God, it's the Father doing something in me and allowing me to be a release element to whoever is going to be here. See, I'm trying to make it examples where you can see. Because, see, if I'm doing it only to manipulate you for a response, then I'm doing it out of the wrong motive. Motive counts more than what you're actually doing in the kingdom. Because, see, you can do things in the wrong motive, no matter how good they look, and God already knows where that's going to be. That's something that's going to be burned up in the fire. But even if you do something that's wrong, but you do it with the right motive, guess what? He's still going to honor you. So that means that sets us free from this desire and need to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. There was one who was perfect. The rest of us can quit trying. That should set you free from me. If I don't have to be perfect, that's a whole lot of load off. See, the reason that this even came to my conclusion, because I always had this little tension when I would be studying and trying to prepare for the service. I'm being really open and honest here, vulnerable here. But when I'd be perfect, there would be this tension, and I would be trying to find the perfect message. I would be trying to find the perfect thing to say. And he just said, "You're doing it for the wrong audience." He said, "The thing that's causing you to have that tension is because there is some part of self that you're trying to serve, and you're trying to serve me. If you'll just serve me wholeheartedly, then the rest of it won't matter, and there'll be no more tension." Throw the mic down and be done here, right? If I throw the mic down, it might affect next service, so we won't do that. Because there comes a time when we're no longer needing to perform for someone else. We're simply having an exchange with the audience of one. And when I have a continuous exchange with an audience of one, that allows me to be free in my love for you. I can release something to you, and your response to it is up to you. So that's one of the things that dysfunction. The other thing is dysfunction is if you misidentify their primary need, and so you're trying to give them something that they don't want. You know, I mean, because of what I do, because of Sozo, I can really quickly identify issues in people a lot of times. And I have learned over the years, just because I identify something doesn't mean that they've identified something. It doesn't mean that even if they've identified something, that they're ready to deal with it. I learned a long time ago that when I saw something, when the Lord would show me something prophetically, just to begin asking Him, "Lord, what do you want me to do with that?" before I started jumping out and doing. Because it gets messy if you just jump out with it and do it, and it wasn't the time. In one case, because of that because of that, in one case, there was someone that he showed me something for, and I said, Lord, he said, right now, I just want you to know what they're doing. I want you to know what they're doing so you know why they're acting the way they're acting, so that you can just come alongside and release love. 9 years later, they walked through the door and he said, now you can release that word. 9 years later. And when I released the word, it was finally time. Because, see, their heart had already been stirred. Their heart had already prepared. They said, I was just thinking about that this morning. I was just praying about that this morning. And God just released a mighty deliverance in an instant. 9 years later, their heart was built up enough to withstand what it was going to take for them to get to the place of freedom. In the meantime, you come alongside. Not judging, but calling. Drawing. Releasing increase. Why? Because until it's in their heart to receive, no matter what you do, it just becomes a manipulation. It's no longer free. So that means that not everything that we see is something we have to address in the natural, but we address it by the Spirit. When we address it by the Spirit, we can begin to intercede for them in a way that causes a greater level of intercession than can ever be released otherwise. Why? Because you can see something and you know the depth and you actually may even know the hurt of it, but you're, instead of releasing hurt back, you're releasing blessing. Powerful intercession. You'll see something change. Guess what? One of the biggest changes might be in me. I'll be free of me. Let's all be free of me. Lord Jesus, make me free of me. Make me free of me. Lord, I see something out here that's a higher level. I see something out here that's a greater thing. And I choose, Lord, to not walk in self, but to be free of me so that the kingdom can be interacted with. So the kingdom is released through me. Hallelujah. God bless you. Love you.